You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, it's my privilege, and I'm excited today to be able to speak to you on our last Advent message, our message of love. You know, it's movie season. I guess it's one of those times where I think a lot of people take advantage of the holidays and they go to movies. And when you go to a movie, you have an expectation, you know, if it's a, you know, I was going to say a sappy love story, but if it's a love story or something like that, then you expect that maybe, you know, you have some tears or something. Or if you're, it's a comedy, you hope to laugh. Maybe some of you might be wanting to go to this movie sometime soon. This movie sometime soon. The Advent Love Movie. I think we're stuck on our... So, yeah, we're having some technical difficulties here. So when we go to a movie... Yeah, here we go. So, now some of you are like into this. I know some of you went last night. Some of you are like, no, I'm not into this. We're not going to get on the bandwagon and different things. But there is an expectation, isn't there? There's an expectation that when you sign up and you pay your money to go to a certain movie, that you want to be moved. You're going to judge that movie based upon whether it gave you what you were hoping it would deliver to you. If it's action, then you want it to be action. Well, how about something so great as this message of Jesus coming, and we have this next image that's so typical, so popular, and how do we feel about this? Do we have the same expectation that this, not a movie, but this time and the messages and the themes of this, will our hearts be touched? Will we be moved every bit as much as a movie that we might pay our money and go see? And I'm not here to beat anybody up or say, you know, you need to get into the Christmas spirit. I mean, because that's not the Christmas spirit. But there is a challenge. There's a challenge at this time. I mean, just when you think of students, I mean, the challenge of just, it's exam time. How can we be, you know, thinking about this? And for families, you know, the expectation to, first of all, get the money and then, you know, buy the gifts and all the things and then, you know, family gatherings, many times they're complicated. We're either away from family or, you know, we've got some estrangement in the family and now we're supposed to come together. Awkward. So how do we get the true message that God wants for us when we look at the themes of peace and hope, and joy, and now love? I think we have to just look again at really what the incarnation, and that means Jesus coming from heaven to earth, how is that love expressed? Let's look at it, and let's trust today that we are going to be able to not only understand it here, but somehow in the midst of everything that's going on, feel it here. Let's pray and believe for that to happen. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and as we continue to celebrate this amazing Advent season, we ask God for your help as we look at your word and we consider the images of this Advent season, and that each one of us would be able to find you in a new and special way with an ancient message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So theologians call the advent or the coming of Jesus the incarnation. The idea here, the big idea is here that God has actually sent Jesus. We believe in a triune God, one God expressed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. that the Son of God was sent from heaven to earth in this manger scene. He came not as a great king, but was laid basically in the feeding trough of an animal. You talk about going from, you know, glory into just very humble means. I was thinking about this Advent love and what that incarnation, what does that really mean? How is it an expression of love? And I've got three things. The first thing I was thinking about was the fact that God declares that he was actually on a rescue mission when we didn't even know we were lost. That he actually the Father began to architect salvation. He began to think in terms of, I've got to save my kids. That's the Father's heart. And the kids didn't even know that he was lost. So in that sense, Advent love is independent of our seeking. And that's a key word, I think, that it's independent. It's not that we loved God. It's not that we were searching for God. It's that independent of anything that we were striving for. You know, people say, well, I found God. Actually, you didn't found God. He wasn't lost. He found you. He found me. I was thinking of the Father, the concept of the Father reaching out and the child, us as his children, not even understanding that they were lost. I can remember a number of years ago, we used to go to California for the Every Nation Conference. The North American Conference was mostly held in Los Angeles. And so we were in Calgary at the time. We had pioneered the new church at the university there, and we would take our minivan and we would drive all the way down to Los Angeles for this conference. And at the end of the conference, the highlight is we took our kids to Disneyland. And I can remember we were at Disneyland, and the youngest couldn't go on certain ones of the rides. And so the plan was Sheila would take the two older ones and I would take the third child, who's not to be named, but he sort of looks like me and he plays the bass guitar. And so my job was to take him to Tom Sawyer's Island. I think I might have a picture here. So my job was to take him on this raft over to Tom Sawyer's Island, where there was kind of just little things for little guys to do. And then Sheila would take the older two on some kind of bigger rides so that they could do that. So great. That was a great plan. And I took this third child of ours, and we went out across the raft. And then we went into this kind of mountain thing. I forget what it was called exactly, but it's this. You go into this man-made mountain, there's caves, and they just go all over the place, and it's like a maze inside this thing. And so we went in there, and this child took off and started going in different ways and up these things, and I lost them. And then they come out on the other side. So I was going on all the X's, frantically going around. It was huge. Like, this cave thing is massive in this mountain. And finally, after about 30 minutes, I mean, I just still couldn't find them. And then Sheila with the other two kids were on the raft, and they were coming over to Tom Sawyer's Island, and I'm on the other side by myself. And, of course, that sinking feeling, you know, there's water all the way around and this. But it was interesting is that eventually we found him, and he was, like, just having a good old time. And he's just like, what's the problem here? And this is just the greatest thing, you know. I could do this all day long. And it just dawned on me in that moment that he was having a great time and had no idea he was lost. But the parents were freaking out. They were, oh my goodness. You know, and that's, I believe, just a way of us to think about the Father's love for us. How many times are we just off doing our own thing, oblivious to getting into trouble and just the things that we're doing? And the Father, I mean, I don't think he's freaking out, but he's planning a rescue mission. He's saying, well, I got to do something about this. These kids are so lost, they don't even know they're lost. And in the love of the Father, he comes and he says, I've got to send the Son. And so God, as the architect of our salvation, sends his one and only Son into the world. And so Advent love is a love that reaches out even when we're not reaching out to him. Advent love is the work of the Father. Romans 5:8 says, and this is a constant theme in Scripture. This is just one of many verses that gives this theme. But he said, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when we weren't even wanted, he paid the price before we were even knowing we needed it. Do you realize that Jesus died for everybody in the world? Not just for people who go to church on Sunday. For God so loved the world. Every one of his children he loves. There's not a person out there on the streets of Toronto that you will lock eyes with that God doesn't love and that God didn't send his Son to die for. Think about that. Thank God that he died for you and me. Thank God that he reached out. But not only is his love independent of our efforts, Advent love is also sacrificial love. When we think of, we normally think of the idea of sacrifice, we normally think of Easter, don't we? We think of the time when we celebrate the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord. But Advent love is sacrificial. Advent love is sacrificial. Let me try to unpack this a little bit. Jesus left heaven. Before the worlds began, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit had community. They had communion. They had love. Before the worlds were even began. One of the hardest things, I think, for Jesus to leave was the idea of leaving that glory and coming down and taking on humanity. And taking on, he didn't not become God, but he added all of the limitations of our humanity. One of the hardest things to do is willingly choose to go from a greater state to a lower state. Think about it. This is the time of year that a lot of us who are working, if you're in the workplace, a lot of times December, depending on your fiscal year and your rotation, but a lot of people get performance evaluations in December. The end of the year, how'd you do? You sit down with your boss. Now, think of it. How many of you, I think I might have a picture of a boss there. How many of you are thinking, when it comes to this time, are believing for a demotion and lower pay? How many of you who are students that, well, I got an A in this course last year. I hope I get a C this time. Or how many of you hope, like, hey, this year I made this, but I hope I get a $10,000 a year pay cut next year? Or how many of you say, hey, you know, I have a nice two-bedroom apartment. I hope that next year I go down to a studio. No one wants to go from greater to lesser. No one wants to do that. Everybody, no one wants to say, okay, I'm in third-year university. Next year I think I can, I hope I go back to one. Nobody wants that. You see, and God didn't start expressing his love for us just on the cross. He started expressing his life for us when he left and he took the demotion. When he said, yeah, I will go down so that they can go up. And Advent is about that. It's about he lived. You see, we talked about the dash. Great point, Rich, the way you illustrated when you talk about a person's birth and their death and a dash in between in our life. What a great thought. But Jesus came for a whole of our lives to walk with us. When I think of a difficulty, when I think of just the strain of life, I think in terms of Jesus, in coming at Advent, expressed his love by coming, and not just coming one time, but coming and walking a full life on this earth with those limitations. He limited himself day by day. That's what he did. I mean, even at his crucifixion, just think of Jesus living his whole life knowing that not only he came from somewhere greater to live on this earth for us and with us, but in every day he limited his power so that he could be a man and not using all that he had. In fact, when they came to get him, the Roman guards came to get him for when it was time for his crucifixion. You know, his disciples were saying, hey, you know, we'll protect you, Jesus, we'll protect you. He said, look, I don't need any protection. And this is what he said in Matthew 26:53. I'll let you read it while I get a water. Are you finished? It's a short verse. What did he say? Hey, I could end it right now. I've got this power behind me that you can't see. I'm actually the Holy. If I want to call out to God right now, I can deal with this, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Because my love is sacrificial. That means I'm going to hold back. I'm going to hold back something I could do because I'm accomplishing something for you. And so in the season, when you're struggling, maybe there's some of those Christmas issues. Okay, I'll just call them Christmas issues. I think I just coined a new term. I'm going to trademark it. Christmas issues. If you have Christmas issues, Advent Love says, Jesus already lived this for us perfectly, and it can bring a sense of his Advent love to us. So Advent love is also the work of the Son. And finally, one more for you. Advent love is powerful. The words ring out by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why even in these secular days, the story of Christmas is still being heralded in our songs, in our calendars, in our parties. I was thinking about that. Even though, you know, it's not the thing to do, we're a secular nation now, we're a pluralistic nation, and all of that, it's still amazing how Merry Christmas slips out. Or Christmas music, even in the workplace, slips out. Or, you know, in the shopping malls and things. Yeah, there's some of the traditional favorites. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire and things like that. But every now and again, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Or Silent Night. Or Oh Come All You Faithful. This message can't be contained, actually. And the reason why it can't be contained, because even though Jesus did die and rise again and went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is living here and among us. And the Holy Spirit is not taken out of the world. And because of that, Advent love is powerful. And we can, and if we'll listen, we can hear the resounding voice of God through the Holy Spirit speaking forth Advent love to each and every one of us. So even if we're struggling with things, whatever they may be at this year, for me, and I don't know why this is, but I'm going to just be vulnerable for you. I don't know why it is, but for the last several years, there's like this sadness that comes upon me at this time of year. It's just weird. I think I had a relatively happy childhood. You know, I don't think it's like it's reminding me of some trauma or something like that. I don't really know why. But it's something that I have to battle. And Advent love is powerful because I can trust the Holy Spirit to lift my spirit. And so can you. Because this message is not how great we can just merely unpack definitions of these candles. Not just, okay, I'll give you a great definition. We'll give you an amazing definition of hope and joy and peace and love. It's not just by a definition and us even lighting the candles. The reason we light the candles is a visual reminder of a truth that comes forth to us by the power of His Spirit. And when we speak God's word, it's God's Spirit that empowers the words that we speak and gives us life. And gives us life. Luke 2, famous part of the Christmas story. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Angels began to herald that message. And by the power of the Spirit, that message has never stopped being heralded. And so the wonderful thing about Christmas and about Advent is that we don't actually have to conjure up this message. The angels began the proclamation, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that message is still going forth. All we need to do is listen for it. All we need to do is listen for it. That's what I need to do this Christmas. That's what I need to do this Advent. I need to listen for that voice as it comes. And I need to take the Word of God, His voice, into my heart to lift my spirit. And so that I can feel the sense of hope and joy and peace and love. And that's what I'm committed to. Pray for me. That's what I want as we celebrate, as we do the things. And even into the midst of sometimes, my new trademark patented phrase, Christmas issues, that the Holy Spirit is greater. And I pray that all of us this year, once again, will be able to experience a wonderful time together. This is our last service of the year. We're going to go and have a party. But I pray that all of you will have a great time this season, whether you're going to be with friends or relatives or you're staying. And we don't want anyone to be alone either. So, I mean, a lot of us are opening up our homes and things. So, you know, if any of you say, I have nowhere to go, please talk to one of us because that would just be the worst. Okay, so we want to be there for you. It's been great. I've been enjoying this Advent messages, four simple truths for the Advent season. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for sending Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you are a triune God. And Father, you reached out for us, and when we weren't even looking for you, just like a lost child who doesn't know that he or she is lost, we thank you, Jesus, that when you came, you limited your power and your glory for us, and you walked as a man. You limited yourself for our sake, that you would take on the full effect. It said that you were a man of sorrows. You were even acquainted with grief. You felt every emotion of the difficult aspects of life, that you were not immune to them, that you felt the sting of betrayal. There were so many things. There was no betrayal in heaven. There was only joy and love and purity. But when you came down here, even though that you only did good, there were people who hated you. And they expressed anger and all kinds of terrible things. So thank you, Son of God. And now we thank you, Holy Spirit, that God, it is because of you that this message is ringing forth stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. And we join in with that chorus. We join in with that message. The joy to the world. The Lord has come. The Lord has come. We give you praise this Advent season for coming into the world. We love you.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.